It's time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Get more on the town of Chapel Hill at townofchapelhill.org. And we are joined by the mayor of Chapel Hill, Pam Heminger, here in the studio. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing good. So we got to start by talking light rail.
Okay.
Big decision coming down from Duke University yesterday. At least for now, seemingly putting the end to the project, but there are still avenues moving forward, at least according to GER Triangle. So where do things stand now?
So we are still waiting on more information, mm-hmm. as this just came down the pike yesterday, and there's still more questions and more concerns. And I know a lot of people are disappointed. There's been a lot of energy out there around this issue. I will tell you, we are all totally committed to finding a regional transportation system that gets people out of their cars, using public transit, protecting the environment as we're growing in this community. We know that. And we are still moving forward. Like I said, more information is coming, but we still have the Amtrak station in Hillsboro that should happen. We still have our BRT plan that should happen. And we don't have all the information in yet from this plan. But it's been a lot of groups working together really, really hard, and not really sure where we are left in this process at this point in time.
You're talking about the amount of resources, not just manpower, but financial resources that have already been put into this project. We're talking about the plans that have been made around the project going forward in terms of housing, economic development, commercial development, and everything else. If this doesn't go forward, if this ends up being the end, tangibly, measurably, what does that mean for the town of Chapel Hill?
So we're not exactly sure. Like I said, we're still waiting on information. I will tell you that it didn't come to downtown Chapel Hill. It came to the hospital. We have some station areas that were planned that we're very excited about still. We still have plans working around those transportation. We have been looking also and working with the light rail and especially the gateway and how we connect to it with our transit and with Easttown going up and Wegmans. We will continue to have economic development along that and housing, affordable, but all kinds of along those corridors. And it could be that this project comes back. I don't know. Like I said, we're still waiting. This is also late breaking. We're still trying to figure out where this leaves us and what the options are. But we are, like I said, we're all committed. We have a great public transit system in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and with the transit by the university, with the transit partners. We will continue to grow that and make sure that it's ready to go whenever. And, you know, there's future technologies coming. And the work and engineering plan has been done, so we have that information to help guide us as well if this doesn't come to be.
Mm. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, so what conversations have you had just in the last 24 hours with people?
Well, different council members are calling saying, mm-hmm. what does this mean? I've been reading all the reports. The press has been calling trying to see reaction.
We do that kind of thing.
Again, trying to understand it all. The meeting just finished last night, and I was at several events last evening in Chapel Hill, and so trying to process all this. Early this morning, trying to read the reports and see what happened and if it's absolutely finished or not. And that was what was unclear. Is this mean complete or does it not? And how does that affect our community? And I know they need there's more questions to be asked and the dust needs to settle a little bit more from this decision. And I don't have all that information yet.
Yeah. What other plans are in the works? This is with or without light rail, mm-hmm. in terms of connecting Chapel Hill to Durham, because that was one of the big things with this.
It is. And so I go back to those corridors. We've been doing the 15501 corridor study. We've been doing the 54 corridor study, the Fordham Bullet. We're working on all those as we see those paths and those connections, and figuring out if we have to now figure out how we do it without the light rail. That's another component, but we were planning on connecting anyway. We have this, you know, we see along the Franklin 15501 out to, like, again, Easttown Gateway, all that out there and beyond Patterson Place as a great corridor that can work in the meantime, if that's what we need to do with our bus system and our BRT kind of system. And maybe that's how we move forward. Again, don't have the answers yet because it's late-breaking news, but we are committed to making regional transit work, and we have good relationships with our partners in Durham and Durham County and Orange County. I mean, it's all good. There's also Wake County now with the commuter line coming that way. We're going to figure something out, but we are growing, and we know that, and traffic is an issue, so whatever we can do to help get people out of the cars is going to be really important for all of our futures.
Speaking again with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, townofchapelhill.org for more on town government. And a lot's going on in the community. I mean, that kind of dominated the headlines this week, but had a really cool event happening in an hour and a half
We are dedicating the space for the Chapel Hill Nine, where they staged the sit-in in 60.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's 59 years. 60. Yeah. You know, it's funny because it happened like a month before my birthday, so I'm right in there. So I should know those dates. And we're so excited, and the story made it on NPR today. But, you know, we've been working really, really hard on using our energy around social equity and our civil rights and our history and being able to understand, unpack, embrace, and celebrate what these young, brave young men did. And so the Colonial Drugstore was where West End Wine Bar is, and they've agreed, and we're going to figure out what it's going to look like, but we're going to have the dedication ceremony tonight on the 59th anniversary
awesome.
Of this event, so that's really cool.
5 p.m. is when that starts, and then there's going to be a march over to First Baptist Church, and I know we've had people on the air who are really excited about the celebration that's going to take place there afterwards
as
well.
I'm very excited about it, too. Yeah. I just love it's brought community together and be able to recognize and, like I said, celebrate and embrace mm-hmm. our true history.
So. And as part of that larger effort that you helped launch last year to commemorate just the history of civil rights in Chapel Hill, which is a story that has not been told nearly as much as it should be.
Yeah. So the timeline's there. People mm-hmm. are requesting it. It gets a lot of attention when it comes up and goes to places. And we're still learning more and recording stories in different ways. There's a short documentary, as you know, and then there's recordings and pictures, and it's been great to have people bring us the information and share it so that we can have it so that we remember it, and it's always part of who we are then, and I think that's wonderful. You know, Chapel Hill wasn't always the welcoming place we want to consider that we were, and this helped us grow. We had Wilson Caldwell Day. The students did a great job on Wilson Caldwell Day on Sunday, and Professor James Porter spoke, and he talked about efforts like this injected dignity into our veins of community, and I think that's pretty apropos. I mean,
awesome.
It really is. Yeah.
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 Other things happening?
Well, last Friday morning, so I'll start with Thursday afternoon, we had been working for almost a year to figure out how we could move the Jefferson Davis marker that sat on a little grassy strip between the sidewalk and the road because it doesn't represent our values, because we never asked for it to be there, and it was not the official name of Franklin Street. Learned about how these markers came to be from the United Daughters of Confederacy, placed them all over the country as routeways. We had no one who had a determination, there was no history of who owned the piece of grass. In order to enact a public safety issue, we have to know the owners. And so trying to discern that took a lot of time, first with DOT. They had the right-of-way, but they didn't own. It took a while, and they had conflicting views from their own department because there's no title. We can't really fit. It's a small piece of grass. And then working with the university, the same thing. They said their property ends at the stone wall. So then in order to take action, we have requested the attorney general make a determination. And he wrote back. It took a little while. He got the letter Thursday late in the day and said in their determination, that there was no claims from either the state or the university, and therefore, because the town is another landowner downtown, that the town could claim it as theirs. But there was mm-hmm. no title proof, but that he could not recommend what, you know, we do with that. But so we acted pretty quickly, and we removed both the permanent marker and the temporary one that had been there and put them into storage, and we will be giving them back to the original owners. So we were very excited. Meanwhile, a protest was brewing. We knew that was coming for Saturday from Georgia, which was interesting, and then students. And so we are hopeful that by removing and not having these artifacts out there, they can be put somewhere else in historical context, that it takes away that rallying point for people to feel outside of our community to come in to continue, because these protests were starting to escalate, and we don't want anyone to get hurt, but it's also, we've got other things we can do in a positive direction. And so that was our hope. So.
What was the kind of reaction that you got? I know we were kind of talking about this before we started.
Yeah, I was really kind of surprised with just very few, a handful of people from outside our community offered to take ownership of the marker. Other folks were like what was the reasoning? And then mostly people, like you had said, didn't even really know it was there. But some folks, I mean, people did know it was there. And yeah. there just didn't seem to be a purpose for it to be there. We know the Orange County Commissioners helped, too. That was part of the story. I shouldn't have left that out, that in October, they rescinded the dedicating of it to make the name that. They rescinded that from 1959 or whenever it was. That also helped. That was one of the steps we needed to take to make sure that we were able to remove it as a public safety issue. Mm.
The one thing that kind of came out on Friday was that the town had taken down part of that second marker.
It was missing.
And the part was missing.
Our work folk didn't know that
right.
that was, they were just told to go pick these two things up and remove them. And so they didn't know it wasn't a completed temporary marker. So mm-hmm. we feel very badly. Someone came between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. and removed that piece. So, and I know they posted on social media and that was not a positive experience.
Right. So, but
yeah.
okay.
We had the ribbon cutting yesterday for Cat Tails Cafe. It
yes.
was a lot of fun. If you go check it out, that's a new business in downtown Chapel Hill.
So it is open now.
It's open.
Brad was talking about wanting to go just 2 days ago.
It's
and
open.
It's like, as soon as it's open, we got to make our reservations.
They've been getting a lot of bookings. So only 10 people max can be in the Cat Cafe at once. They mm-hmm. have wine and beer and cupcakes and sodas. And you can actually interact with all the cats in there. They're wonderful. The cats are ready to interact with the people. So the ribbon cutting, and they've done a really, really nice job over there.
Have you been in there yet?
I love cats.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I love cats, and they've just done a really great job. They get the cats from the Goat Preserve in Chatham County.
Mm-hmm.
Which has a lot of cats, and they've already adopted out 5 cats. They've actually been open,
awesome.
a soft opening for about 2 weeks.
That's
They're not open every day, so I think they're closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or you can check out their website.
Mm.
Apparently, I don't want to give out false information, but it was a wonderful experience, and we welcome them to the community, so it was cool.
That's really cool.
Coming up in March is going to be Skip the Straw Month, and we'll talk more about that later. In all of Orange County, we're going to talk about how to reduce single-use items overall, not just straws, but bags and bottles, and mm-hmm. we're going to make some real movement in that way. We had Light Up Festival this past weekend.
Yes.
It was a wonderful hit. The weather started off bad, but we had thousands of people come to downtown Chapel Hill. The performances were amazing. The kids in their costumes, the adults in their costumes, the food was really good. The weather cleared up. It was just a really good event.
We were there like right at the start at 11 o'clock.
Oh,
and it was
kind of
icky and not many people were there. And it's like, it's going to clear up later. And then it did.
It was lovely. It
Super
was really
cool.
good. And how amazing. And we're so grateful to the Chinese school community who want to bring community together and celebrate and show off wonderful parts of culture. I mean, the performances were truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping this will continue and grow. And I think downtown was a great fit for it. It really worked out well. So
That's
we were pleased.
Good.
And our staff did a great job helping, making sure people stayed safe. We had an update from launch, and I found this fascinating yesterday. We were talking about there's been 97 companies who've been served through launch so far in downtown Chapel Hill. 47 of them responded to a survey, and 46 of them remain in business today, which is a 61% rate. That's huge. That's like unheard of across all the incubators.
Yeah.
And we weren't able to reach all of them, so it might even be higher than that. But they've raised about $20 million in funding, $26 million in annual revenues, and they employ about 465 people. Of that, 278 are still in Orange County, and they've contributed about $110,000 is their estimate from putting all this stuff in downtown Chapel Hill.
Awesome.
So this is really cool. It's showing that it is working, that people are growing, and they're sparking their companies here. We're helping nurture it to grow it, and then they can stay here. We've been really, really ramping up that effort to make sure they know that they're welcome to stay here, that we will help them figure out how to stay here. We are trying to create more spaces to make that a reality, and that they're always welcome to come back to launch. That's something we've been changing, that if you were a company that started there and you need to come back and get some more help, please come back. We want to help. We want you to grow. We're really excited about that, and it was just a really nice story to be telling after this. And the innovation kickoff is coming at UNC is coming in April, and it's always a fascinating experience to hear all the different ideas. And these things, it's funny, most of them aren't really about profit. They're about changing the world and helping connect the dots for people to resources, and it's makes you feel good.
And I love it because, like, I don't have an entrepreneurial mind. Like, I can't see the gap that needs to be filled. So the fact that there are people out there who can and have trained themselves to be able to do that, and then you go and you listen to them speak, and here's what we can do to make the world a better place. It's like, I would never have thought of that, and that's perfect, right?
Yeah.
And then they go out and do it. It's great.
Well, it takes a lot. So I like to, you know, my daughter is one of these startups, and it's in my kitchen, and and they've had to learn a lot and be a little bit more nimble,
yep.
And you have to put a lot of hours, but it's a great idea. It's go-kart. It's like Uber for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's screened, and it's starting to grow, but it takes, you have to stick with it. I mean, the dedication to make it work, it's amazing, and I've been impressed, and I'm very proud of her for staying with it and
cool.
helping it grow.
Yeah,
it's good. We have our economic sustainability meeting tomorrow at 8 a.m. We're going to be looking at the downtown work plan and our guiding principles for the future land use map, along with some updates. We then have a work session on Monday, and again, continued conversation about the future land use map and the guiding principles. And then on Wednesday, we have our council meeting, and we're going to get an update from UNC, and we'll be talking with Kidzu, and a few other topics will be on there as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Busy week as always, right?
Well,
yeah.
And you never know quite what's going to be thrown at you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have to be ready and still learning. And like I said, we're still trying to unpack some of the information we've gotten this week.
So we'll keep following that. Townofchapelhill.org for more information on town government. Mayor Pam Hemminger, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.